This podcast is brought to you by Howie's Store. Save 50% on restaurants, hotels, and more. To order, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on Store. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Do you think the market reaction is a reaction to the markets realizing the president simply does not tell them or the world or this country the truth about this situation?
I believe that's the case. Now, it doesn't mean the market wouldn't still go down, but it wouldn't collapse, I don't think. Now, who can say?
President Trump inherited an economy from Obama-Biden administration that was given to him.
He's my favorite economist.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
But if we invest in ourselves, China will not be, as they say, the most still China come from Claremont, Delaware. Not a patch on our team.
In English, please.
Together, I think we can win back the House. We're going to keep the House, increase it.
And this is sad.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
This is not to fearmonger. It would be irresponsible for us to create panic when it's undue. That being said, we know 80% of the population is going to survive.
Man's practicing fuzzy math again.
It's not our country's fault. This was something that we were thrown into, and we're going to handle it, and we have been handling it very well.
As you requested, Mr. President, that all the insurance companies here have agreed to waive all co-pays on coronavirus testing.
Unchained and unstoppable.
I talked to Sam Kennedy last week from the Red Sox, and I think that, you know, the decisions that the sports leagues will have to make, whether or not allowing people in their arena, those are going to be based on some facts that they're looking at today. Right now, the marathon is on for April. There are conversations happening, but there's no definite confirmation of what's happening. I think this is a very fluid situation.
I'm talking about very important stuff here.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
802 says, good thinking, Howie, about Biden coming down to Florida and making an appearance at the Tampa St. Pete Airport. He said if he does an event there, he'll look positively middle-aged. You know what they call St. Petersburg, God's waiting room. But I don't know if he's going to be there or not. He's still out on the campaign trail in Ohio tonight, and he was just introduced a few minutes ago as the next vice president of the United States. So apparently he's not the only one who's confused about what he's running for. We don't know who introduced him that way or not. Anyway, we'll get back to Joe Biden. We've got more sound of him tonight. 844-500-4242. But first, we wanted to check in. There were a couple of horrific illegal immigrant stories and refugee stories involving immigrants over the last few days. And one of them was involving a family from Whitman that was visiting Disney World. And they were apparently struck as they were in one of the surrounding suburban communities around Orlando by a guy who turned out to be an illegal alien. And it's just not getting enough reporting. And I know, you know, you have coronavirus and the primary debates and the canceling of the St. Patrick's Day parade. But I mean, four Americans from Massachusetts killed by an illegal alien, and it's not getting any play. The Globe has put more into it than most of the media. So joining us now on the line is Todd Lyons, and he's the acting director of ERO Emergency Removals in the ICE office, Immigration and Customs Enforcement here in Boston. Todd, this is really a terrible story, isn't it?
Well, hi, Howie. Yeah, thanks for having me on. Yeah, so this is one of three that have been pretty bad that have hit really the Massachusetts community. You know, you have this one down in Florida where a Brazilian immigrant who shouldn't have been here in the first place kills, you know, a family. You have someone in Hudson, Massachusetts that's a two-time deport that stabs three people at a nightclub that now they're looking for him. And then you have a guy in Wakefield who stabbed a coworker. That's a five-time reentry. At one point, do you kind of say, hey, we need to really have some true immigration reform and try to figure out what we're doing wrong here?
I didn't know about these other two cases. Let's talk about this Brazilian, first of all. Now, they apparently, under Florida law, they can only charge him with, what is it, negligent vehicular operation. They can't they can't really throw the book at him. So it's going to be up to you guys to at least get him the hell out of the country, right?
Right. So it, for the negligent driving, it's a $1,000 fine, which the folks down at ERO Miami have already taken him into custody. Pretty much the egregiousness of the crime. So that's definitely someone we want to remove from the country. The country, and it's kind of sad that this person won't see the kind of justice he really deserves for killing, four family members. But at least this way, we will get him out of the country this time around.
But, if you had to bet, Todd Lyons, I know none of us can predict with certainty, but what are the odds this guy ends up back in the country in a couple of months?
Well, Howie, and that's just a sad thing, is the fact that more often than not, a lot of people do, re-enter the country after deportation, which leads to more crime, which leads to more horrific acts. Kind of like I was saying earlier with, we've seen a lot more resurgency in Massachusetts, where more people are coming back to the Commonwealth due to the lack of sanctuary policies, where you can come back here and fly under the radar and still commit crimes or just go about your business. But there are still American citizens that are definitely feeling the price, just like the family did from Whitman down in Orlando.
Well, let's talk about the Hudson situation. What happened in Hudson?
So there you have someone that stabbed someone at a local bar or nightclub, stabbed four individuals that now the Hudson Police and the Massachusetts State Police are looking for. Yet this is someone that was deported in 2016 out of Atlanta, Georgia, for crimes already. Yet now he's back in Massachusetts, obviously committing violent felonies, stabbing individuals. And now he's wanted by local law enforcement again. Well, this is someone we've already removed from the country 2 years ago.
Now, where is this guy from, the one in Hudson?
So that individual is from, I believe, Guatemala.
Guatemala. And Hudson, I believe, is Middlesex County. So you're dealing with a district attorney that doesn't, believes totally in sanctuary city policies. What is are you going to get any cooperation in finding this person or having them turned over if the person's caught? Four people stabbed at this bar by an illegal alien reentry from Guatemala?
No, that was four people stabbed in the Hudson case. And then, so now you also have someone stabbed in Wakefield who stabbed a coworker. That's a five-time reentry. And then let's just not forget the Zimbabwe wannabe Lyft driver that rapes someone in Faneuil Hall. I mean, the list is going on and on of all these crimes that are being committed by individuals that my officers have to go out and fine because they're being released from all these sanctuary jurisdictions. We ran a two-week operation this week where we arrested over 209 criminal aliens in the Commonwealth. And that just shows you how many individuals are being released day in, day out. And not only because of the sanctuary policies, but just because of the lack of cooperation that people don't want to work with ICE, just for that stigmatism of, they don't want to offend anyone or just even the politicization of law enforcement like we talked about before. But now we have 209 individuals that ICE officers have to go out and arrest because they got released from local jurisdictions.
Yeah, well, look at what happened to the guy in Boston who was cooperating with you. He was punished by the politicians who ultimately run the Boston Police Department, right? So, it's a matter of career survival, isn't it, not to cooperate?
Well, and the one good thing is we have a great U.S. attorney with Andy Lelling. A lot of these cases that my offices worked on this week were actual criminal warrants that his office helped us get. And so now for all those individuals and, political officials out there that say that ICE is strictly civil immigration, well, we actually went and arrested a lot of people on criminal warrants that should not be in the country in the first place.
Where was the person from that was involved in the stabbing in Wakefield? What country were they natives of?
You know, on the top of my head, Howie, I do not know. I just know that he was removed five times
since 1996. Yes. Since 1996. So he's been here for a quarter century, almost. A quarter century. And he stabbed a coworker.
Right. And so the bad thing with a lot of these reentries is the fact that they'll serve, in his case, he served two terms of 18 months for illegal reentry. Yet it's not a deterrent. People will still come back. And a lot of times, people will find a kind of safe haven where they know they can come back to, where they'll fly under the radar of local law enforcement. Boston ERO removed him out of Chelsea previously, was his last deportation, but yet he came back.
Where was he deported out of? Do you know where he was? Can you tell us where? Chelsea, Wakefield, where else was he operating from as an illegal alien career criminal?
Arizona and Texas for the last few times.
Wow. So he was everywhere.
This right, is that's what a bad thing.
How do you discourage this? I mean, do you have to just throw them in jail for 10 years and then throw them out? I mean, what can you do to prevent this? Because, I mean, again, these people are costing Americans' lives.
Well, you know, the worst thing is that, you know, a lot of times when people publicize and a lot of politicians publicize sanctuary policies, it's a magnet. People know they can kind of get up there and fly under the radar. And if you're someone that's been deported 2, 3, 4 times for, which we've seen a lot in here in Massachusetts, we talked about it before, Howie, with fentanyl, heroin,
right,
cocaine, they can come back and repeat and pay their $50 bond and get out of jail, and they'll totally miss my officers, and then they're right back in the community with a brand new identity.
Yeah. And now the legislature, at least some legislators, want to give them driver's licenses as part of the so-called Safe Communities Act.
Well, and the sad thing is we might be in the same line as New York, where you have the green light law, where you can't cooperate with federal law enforcement officers to provide information. And then you have individuals on the street with a valid state ID that no one knows where they're from or mm-hmm. what they did in the past. And you can't ask any questions about it.
And now Virginia's doing the same thing with their all-Democrat legislature now in Richmond. They're going to give driver's licenses to 300,000 illegal aliens. And they're going to increase the gas tax. And they're going to try to take away the guns of law-abiding citizens.
Well, and, you know, the sad thing is, Howie, we've talked about this so many times since I've been on, is, you know, anytime you politicize law enforcement, it puts, you know, not only regular citizens at risk, but it puts other law enforcement agencies at risk, too.
Right.
And, you know, this isn't something that should be politicized one aisle or the other. It's just public safety. And it's sad that, at you know, this time, this is what we're having to deal with.
Wow. Well, listen, we appreciate the good work you and your fellow ICE agents do out of Boston and New England, Todd Lyons, and we thank you. And most of the people, citizens and legal aliens alike, support you, and you know that. But I just it's terrible the lack of cooperation you're getting from the political forces. Thank you, Todd Lyons. We really appreciate you being with us again. I'm Howie Carr.
The paper boy with a big microphone, Howie Carr.
This is Lynn in sunny Las Vegas.
This is Dan from the Moonbat capital of Jamaica Plain.
This is Gigi in Leominster, Massachusetts, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Orion Metal Exchange is the only precious metals company that I trust. Give them a call to get a free, no-obligation investment guide about protecting your future with an enduring investment in gold and silver. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain, including peace of mind, by calling now. Call them today at 800-912-2300. And with Orion, you'll get more metal for your money. Call 800-912-2300. 2300. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will the Boston Marathon be canceled?
I'm still going to say no, but I'm less certain than I was earlier today.
Interestingly enough, more people are voting no. 43% now instead of 41 say it will not be canceled.
The headlines on the newspaper websites in Boston are quite gloomy right now. State of emergency declared, up to 92 cases. Although most of the cases are still from this one Biogen conference in Boston.
I think it's just the fact that it doubled overnight that's scaring people. So I'm changing my vote. I do think it's going to be canceled.
All right. 844-500. 4242. Let's take a couple of calls. We go back to the Joe Biden sound. And again, I don't know how much more of this sound we're going to get if he wins all these primaries tonight, as it appears he's going to. I mean, I think he's going to, claim that for the sake of everyone's public health, he's going to get off the campaign trail and get into the tapioca pudding and the lime jello. That's just the way I see it. I see it playing out. And they'll be twisting Bernie's arm big time to get him out of the fight before there is another debate. Joe, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Howie, how are you tonight?
Good.
I have a very simple solution. Back in the 70s and early 80s, I worked for General Dynamics in Quincy.
Yes.
Before the place closed. Okay, we all had to have ID badges.
Yes.
Now, if you were, green card or able to work in this country.
Yeah.
And you weren't an American citizen, they had two letters printed on the badges, IA, immigrant alien. So if they put that on the driver's licenses, simple solution.
Joe, how long do you think it would take the ACLU or La Raza or one of these groups to go into court and say that you were engaging in racial profiling, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, but this General Dynamics was a defense contractor, so...
I know. My brother used to teach at UMass during the 1970s, same period you're talking about. He had to sign a card, which was a loyalty oath to the United States of America. You think they still have to sign those cards at the University of Massachusetts, Joe? I mean, well, I wish we could go back to those days. But, you just heard Todd Lyons talking. They can't even pick up criminals. The courts are routinely letting them go and claiming that they have to under a decision by the Supreme Judicial Court. And so these ICE officers have to take their lives into their own hands, going into the neighborhoods and sometimes even breaking down doors to get these illegal aliens for deportation. And then they just come running back. 844-500-4242. I wish we could go back to those IA days. I wish we could go back to loyalty oaths, now that I think about it. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
339, the texter says, Governor Baker has declared a state of emergency for masks. My employer said we work from home till further notice. But what if you can't work from home? What if you work at, say, a supermarket? You can't work from home if you're at a supermarket.
Can I work from Florida until further notice, please?
I'm in here every day, Taylor. Am I not?
But I'm here. I'm at work. I shouldn't be at work.
Well, I'm at work. You're not
at work's home base. I'm at work's home base. It's a state of emergency. I should be there in Florida with you.
I don't know. Grace is here in Florida to handle it. Everything, you know. I mean, this is a state of emergency. We have to stay in the warmth. You know, that's the state of emergency. 844-500-4242. Ted, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Ted.
Hi, greetings from Amity, Maine, to you, Grace, and Taylor.
Hi there.
Something that's been on my mind, I guess I'm just getting too old and jaded and cynical in my old age. I've been thinking about another VP that the DNC could run with Joe Biden.
Who's that?
And that would be Barack Obama.
Aren't you under the Constitution? Aren't you allowed to just serve two terms as president? I believe that's it, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing like you can stay out for 4 years and then come back. I don't believe it's two terms. Period.
You can only be elected for two terms.
Oh.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're on the ticket, I think you would be the you would be considered elected. I mean, don't they have a rule too that if you're if you serve more than like 2 years, if you're the vice president, you serve more than 2 years, more than half of a term, that counts as one term. I believe it does. I'm not sure, but I think that's the way it works.
Also, if you're not going to endorse someone when they're running for president, I don't know if you should be their go-to for VP.
Well, Joe Biden just wants to get in at this point, you know. But I mean, do you think Barack Obama is that popular, Ted?
As opposed to the rest of the choices? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man shall be king. I guess in that sense you're right. They are pretty weak. But I mean, look at now you have the news coming out that Sanders considered primarying him in 2012. And, you know, the Bernie bros are saying he was too conservative. And I don't think he wants to go back either, because, you know, you have to make appearances. I'm not going to say it's work, you know, because he certainly didn't work hard. He's never worked. But, you know, I think he likes his life. His life is more stress-free now than it was when he was president. And I don't think he wants, and it's for the same reason, I don't think Muchel wants to do anything like that. Thanks for the call, Ted. Rocky, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Rocky.
Hey, Howie. Thanks for taking my call. It's nicer up here than down in Florida, so how do you like them apples? Hey, I wanted to throw this at you. You know who Biden, Gaffey Biden, could run, have as a running mate?
Who?
Ned Beatty from the Deliverance. You know, the kids jumping on his lap and stuff. I mean, would that work or no?
Oh, God, Rocky. Thanks for the call. 844-500-4242. 774. I drive a school bus van in the Wachusett district. Working from home ain't going to work. Yeah, exactly. There, I'm about to be a truck driver. I'm going to make my deliveries from home. Oh, okay. Yeah, I work at that auto body shop. I'm going to fix the cars from my living room, from my den, from my man cave. No, I don't think so. This is I don't have an office at the Herald, but I work. But I suspect, not everybody, but I suspect that a lot of people really aren't putting in a full day. I think that was one of the things Bloomberg was being criticized for when he was running for president, that he had the same skepticism, shall we say, about telecommuting, as it was called. And I think it was well-founded. 844-500-4242.
Yeah, because if you're working from home, you're just so tempted to stay in your pajamas all day, right? I would imagine.
Well, aren't you also tempted to surf the web? You know, whatever you like to do on the web, whether it's shopping or checking out the ACC tournament.
What do you think we do at work?
So I had a friend, and when she worked from home, they could monitor if you were active on your computer. So she told me one time, she said, I really wanted to go down into the town. It was like during a snowstorm or something with my parents and get lunch, but I knew I was going to be gone for too long. So she figured out, she put a brick on her keyboard. So it was typing the whole time she was gone, and she beat the system. So I'm just saying, working from home can create a lot of innovation.
339, can letter carriers work from home? There's another. Yeah, there's another group that's
I don't need my bills. They can keep them.
Hairdressers. Can't do hair from home.
Yeah. Yeah. Drive-through window employees. No. They're not going to make it either. 844-500-4242. David, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, Howie, what you think would happen if Michelle Obama ran against President Trump? Because that name was bounced around for a while. And what do you think?
I know, but it's kind of faded out, and I think the reason it's faded out is because she really has no interest in it. I mean, I think it's the same thing with Obama himself, her husband. I mean, I don't think that he really wants to bust hump. I mean, she would have to actually run, and she would have to be scrutinized. Do you think she could hold up under scrutiny? Have you ever read any of her college writings when she was at Princeton University? She's not exactly a Rhodes Scholar, shall we say, you know?
Yeah, I'm conservative. I live in Burlington, Vermont. I'm in Bernie land. Bernie lives near me somewhere. I don't know exactly where. I don't really want to know. But
I don't blame you.
I see him in the supermarket. I called many months ago, and I saw him in the supermarket, Hannaford's nearby, and it's like, double take. It's before he declared his president, running for president. But
was he muttering that there were too many kinds of deodorants available in the
I think he was down the deodorant aisle, and he was just like shaking his head. Yep, I think he was.
it really bothers him. You know, it's really funny, that story that's going around now about the guy that's an immigrant from the Soviet Union. And he says he came over to the United States and he realized what a travesty his life was, that he lived in the Soviet Union and there was no choice in the supermarkets. And here, Bernie is the exact reverse of that.
Yeah.
He went into the supermarket in the United States and decided that his life was a travesty because there were too many choices. Not enough. Thanks for the call there, David. Mrs. X, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mrs. X.
Thank you, Howie, for taking the call. I'll be quick. You left a very important consideration out. Frontline people right on in hospital settings, doctors, nurses, surgeons, first responders, that's important. They can't stay home. Thanks for taking my call, Howie.
Thank you. Yeah, another guy says, I work on the T. I work for the T. I'm so screwed. Yeah. I mean, you know, again, this whole thing about working from home, it's not totally a analogous, but it's somewhat like the state workers during a snowstorm. You know, they used to call them non-essential, but I guess that was a blow to their self-esteem, so now they call them non-emergency. So my feeling has always been, if you're non-emergency, it really means you're non-essential. And if you're non-essential, why are you on the payroll? In the public or the private sector? In the private sector, non-essential people don't tend to last all that long.
And that's misleading, because that makes you think that everyone who's at work on a regular day when nothing's going wrong is, you know, it's urgent that they're there. They're emergency workers, when really they're just working.
Stuff has to be done that's not emergency, and you have to be in the office to do it, right?
Non-essential, that's got to hurt. That basically means expendable. Mm-hmm.
201 says, we will soon be finding out if you can run for president from home. I think we're going to find that out in the positive. Yeah, we've got the some Biden cuts coming up here, and we'll play them. We'll play one right now before we go to the break, and then we'll play some more, and we'll take some more of your calls here. Now, these are the Biden cuts from late this afternoon, right when people had a chance to look over this confrontation, so to speak, that he had with the hard hat, and they asked him about that.
Exactly, so, I think he was walking out of a rally in Ohio.
A rally in Ohio. That's like, that's like happy hour somewhere. You know, there are not a lot of people there. It's the early part of happy hour for him. I don't think I saw him just walking out. There didn't seem to be anybody there, Taylor.
I don't know what he was doing. He was just walking out to a car and
there was nobody around him.
A couple of reporters talked to him. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's listen to it.
Well, I'm surprised that Sanders is joining Trump.
Where at an American, though? Is this a union voter?
What is he talking about? Sanders is joining Trump. Was Sanders criticizing him for the way he handled the hard hat?
I don't think so. I didn't hear anything like that.
Isn't that what he said, though, just
That's
now?
What he said, yeah. He's surprised Sanders is joining Trump.
Has Trump tweeted out about this?
But what does that have to do with Bernie Sanders?
This feels like a Seinfeld episode or Curb.
Oh, boy.
Who's on first?
We're just looking to see. We're just looking to see what there's any if there's any stuff from. I don't see anything here. Nope. I don't see anything about Bernie. About Biden in Michigan.
I think he thinks that supporter he was talking to is a Bernie supporter.
Oh, or maybe CBS. The guy who tweeted it out was from CBS. He thinks they're a Bernie.
Somebody said that in the background you could hear them chanting, some of the workers there in Michigan chanting, "We want Trump," or 4 more years or something to that effect. Did you hear any of that?
I didn't catch that video. I'll have to look over the overnight.
We'll keep looking for more stuff during the break here, and we'll take more of your calls at 844-500-4242. The polls will be closing in about an hour and 15 minutes. I'm Howie Carr.
A nightmare to liberals everywhere. He's Howie Carr.
This is Jay in Hingham, Massachusetts.
This is Gloria from Haverhill, Mass.
Hi, this is Joe from Howie in the Hills, Florida. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
I am grateful for his leadership and ready and determined to do whatever it takes to make him our next vice president. I bring you our next president, former Vice President Joe Biden.
Who was that? Some congresswoman or something? Our next vice president. Okay. There's a Bernie bro who's in trouble today, a guy named Philip Agnew. He's a black guy, a newly appointed senior advisor. Guess what they went back and researched on Philip Agnew's?
Could it be possibly his tweets?
Yes, from 2009.
Ah.
And again, remember, he's black. Michelle Obama is just not pretty. I've tried to look at her from every angle possible. Is that enough for you?
What's Random so bad about thought. That? That's his opinion.
Well, he's apologizing.
It's
profusely.
Not nice, though.
Why? So what? There's a lot of things that aren't nice. You don't have to apologize for that.
Philip Agnew had to apologize. Random thoughts while standing in gas station. Michelle Obama is an odd-looking woman. I'd call her ugly, but I don't want the backlash.
Again.
Yeah, he's a jerk. This is.
It's okay to be a jerk. You can have your thoughts and opinions and share them.
And here's the backlash from the Twitter universe. This is who Bernie Sanders has decided to hire as his new senior advisor, Philip Agnew. No wonder African Americans want no part of Feel the Burn, Bernie. Deeply problematic people.
It's not that I'm saying his feelings aren't valid or he can't have his opinions, but if I said stuff like that, you can bet your bottom dollar I would be canceled in a heartbeat. So I don't really feel bad for
him. Grace, do you think Bernie is ugly?
No, I don't think anyone's ugly. Everyone's beautiful in their own way.
Oh, that's a load of... Don't be a horse's bleep.
No, I think it's true. I would never call someone ugly. I just don't think it's kind.
Would you like to hear his groveling apology?
Yes.
I am not my tweets from 2009. Still, words have power to heal and to harm, and I acknowledge and apologize for when my words harm. I've spent years speaking life and love into my community, but I was wrong and I have to be accountable. Please take a minute to read my statement.
That wasn't the statement.
That was the prologue.
Apparently. Oh, gosh. This is like when you go to a graduation speech and they start going like this. First of all, my second point, and you're thinking, when is this going
to
end?
I am writing to own. Who's going to own? That in 2009, when I was 23, I tweeted stupid comments about Michelle Obama. I am writing because I was wrong, and I am writing to be accountable. I am sorry for the remarks that I made. I typed them as a young, immature, insecure. He was 23!
But yet if you say she's a beautiful woman, you're objectifying her, and you know, you're only admiring her for her looks, not her intelligence. So you're sexist, either way.
Let me continue with the apology, Taylor, okay? I grew up socialized by false standards of beauty and success. And young, dumb Philip, now he's speaking of himself in the third person, spouted all manner of things today that I, now he's back to first person, today absolutely reject and regret. Do you have any more Biden cuts from this afternoon after the big rally in Ohio after he was lauded as our next vice president?
If I did, I think we'd save him for 3 p.m. tomorrow.
Oh, we're out of time?
Just about.
Okay. All right. 844-500-4242.
Bernie's really got a lot of interesting people working on his campaign.
Well, at least this guy hasn't threatened to. Dude, you know, we're going to burn down Milwaukee, man. Like Chicago in 1970, man.
Oh, my God.
Remember that?
Who are you, Shaggy from Scooby-Doo?
No, he said 70, not 68. He
thought, like, Zoinks, Bernie.
I'm Howie Carr.